Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
Can I just share with you a kind of like a personal quick story? And maybe I could share with you the completed project of a home project that I had just completed at my house. I have built a brick oven, outdoor pizza oven. Pretty cool, right? You see, it's kind of like leaning, you know what I'm saying? I'm just joking, that's just the picture. The brick oven pizza is great. I burnt down the house, but the brick oven, the pizza has been great. I'm just joking. But so we just fired it up last week. Let me just walk you through some pictures so you understand. Let's go to the next picture. All right, so you can see I spackled it. And if you've been to my house, it's that color. And hit the next one. That fire, so that's kind of what it looks like. It's just a small pizza oven. Hit the next one. So I found like the oven itself in New York City, in Queens, Astoria, New York. My wife and I, we had to drop somebody off at the New York airport. We just shot over there and put that thing on the back of the truck. It weighs like 1,000 pounds. It's no big deal. They say 500 to 1,000. I think it's 12 million pounds. Anyway, we put it on there. All right, show the next picture. So that's my daughter. Where's my cell phone? So she just walks around like this. So, and then you just hit the last one. You can kind of tell the progression. Now just put up the finished product. I have just to admit to you something, that I was wanting not to do this project. I wanted to do it real quick. Actually, I was trying to do it in one day. I picked it up and I said, I'm going to do the foundation. And so we got the ground part ready. I said, oh, these, I don't need like mortar. The bricks, we could just stack them, and then the weight of the oven would just smush it all down. It doesn't work like that. So you see, like you saw my daughter and I trying to put it. I built the whole thing up, put the oven on top, and it was like wobbling like this, 1,000 pounds in the air. I'm like, so we took down the oven, took down all the bricks, and then we started building it up. And now it is strong as a rock. I just want to tell you in life, if your foundation is not strong, life is heavy. There's issues, there's problems, and it's just a matter of when those winds will come or that weight will come and it will feel wobbly underneath your feet. I tried it. I tried shortcutting it. It didn't work. Now we're ready to go. You know, Martin Luther, he used this Psalm 46, in a time of his life, and he the great hymn of the church, a mighty bulwark is our God, strong. So when we read Psalm chapter 46, these are the words that describe our God. God is our refuge. We run to him. He's our strength, and he's an ever-present help in trouble. I want to tell everyone in this room, God is our refuge. God is our strength, and he is present to help you in your life today. Verses 1 through 3 talk about these, if the earth opens up, or these tidal waves, or all these natural disasters, or all these problems, where do you run? Where do you go? You go to God. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And he will help you in every season of our life. And so I say you could trust him. So I've labeled this message, In the Storm, Part 2. Last week's message flows into this week's message about putting our trust in him and that we don't have to fear. He is the one that we can rely on to help. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11, for the Spirit of God does not make us timid or fearful, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. If you listen to the enemy, he will come and say, you can't trust God. You can't trust God to pay your mortgage. You can't trust God to raise your kids. You can't trust God with your future. You can't believe him. The enemy will come and say, God's not real. This Bible is not practical. It's not for today. It's not meaningful. I want to tell you that God is here today. He is our refuge, and we can trust him. And so when we read verses 4 through 7, you'll notice that God is above us. Look what it says. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. He's talking about heaven. God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. If you're familiar with your Bible, you know that John, on the island of Patmos in the book of Revelation, he was kind of persecuted for his faith. He was a prisoner. They put him on this island, and he's called John the Revelator because he had this revelation of heaven. And this sounds a lot like Revelation chapter 22 about what heaven will look like, this God above us. Look what Revelation 22. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life as clear as crystal, Medford Lakes, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Wait, what? Let me just kind of show you. You say, where's God? God's in heaven. Where's Jesus? He also's in heaven. You say, where are the angels? They're in heaven. Matter of fact, the Bible says the earth is the footstool. We're down here. You say, well, what about the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one around, but Jesus is in heaven. And the Bible says that there is a river of the water of life as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and from the Lamb. From God and Jesus' feet is flowing this river. You say, is it a real river? It could be. Or is it this imagery that John, in the book of Revelation, he shared? I don't know. But you say, well, what does it stand for, this river? This river is a river of grace that's flowing. This river is a grace of blessing and encouragement and help and the touch of the living God continually flowing from the feet of Jesus himself, blessing and nurturing people's hearts today in our lives. Jesus talked about this river as well. Matter of fact, if you look at Zechariah 13:1, this is a prophecy. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. This idea like this flooding, washing, this rebirth on the inside to flood your heart and take away your sins into the sea of forgetfulness. Is anyone thankful that Jesus put your sins into the sea of forgetfulness? That's wonderful. Jesus said this, John 4, verse 14. But whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. We used to sing a song like this. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind to see. You ever heard that one? I used to sing that going to the restroom all as a kid until high school, until my theology got better. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Makes the lame to walk and the blind. Where's that? That Jesus himself is refreshing the soul, blessing the heart. You say, John, I'm loaded up with cancer. But inside of you, you know that Jesus is alive and real and blessing and nurturing the inside of the soul like refreshment, like a cold drink of water on a hot day. He's blessing, he's helping. The Holy Spirit talks about this river that's flowing. Look what it says in the next scripture, John 7, verse 38 and 39. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. You remember when Jesus, he was resurrected out of the grave? He said, receive the Holy Spirit. At that time, that's the first Christians. But then, in Acts chapter 2, they were already Christians, the Holy Spirit came upon them on fire. So today, when people receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we would say, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, oftentimes people feel like God, like the Holy Spirit came upon, like that comes upon them. Other believers will sense that something wells up inside of them, like a river is flowing outside of them. He said, Pastor, I just started praying in the Spirit. It kind of came from me. That's what Jesus was talking about, this river of life and energy and blessing into your life. You say, what are you talking about? Jesus is saying, the Bible is teaching us that there's this living water that would flood into our hearts that starts up in heaven. There's a second part to in verse 5, going back to Psalm chapter 46. Verse 5 said like this, God is with her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Do you know this? That God loves the morning? Do you know this? This is when God released the Israelites out of bondage at the break of day, and they brought them to the new land. You remember Jesus on the break of day, on Sunday, he resurrected out of the grave. There'd be crying and mourning at night, but grace comes in the morning. What do you say? What is God doing? God is always bringing relief. He's bringing help and healing. Aren't you glad for a new day? Have you ever just messed up? Have you just like had a bad day? I'm so glad this day's over. You go to bed and you wake up, you have a fresh start. God loves fresh starts. He can give you a fresh start today. If you're here today, it's like this new way of living. It's this moving forward in Jesus' name. And then finally, it's verse 7 talks about Jacob. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. You say, why Jacob? You know, three major religions claim that Abraham is their father: the Muslim people, the Jewish people, and the Christian people. Muslim people, I think, have it confused because it's Ishmael. But I would say these other two religious groups, the Jews and the Christians, Jesus was Jewish, of course, flowed from the Jews. We are engrafted in. Christians are engrafted in from the lineage. So we go back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's how the Messiah came to us. And the psalmist talks about Jacob. The Lord Almighty is with Jacob. You know the story of Jacob? He went through some very difficult times. His wife died having a child. So it's presumed that his wife died and the baby died. You remember his brother, and there's complications and jealousy. He had a terrible family situation. But there's a story about Jacob. You remember when he wrestled with God? You know, we're talking about, there's a big match coming up, I think in August, right? It's Mayweather versus McGregor, right? Is that the right? Do I have that right? And everyone's going to spend all this crazy money to give these two nut jobs a bunch of money. So if you watch ESPN, they're out promoting their thing. I think they're laughing all the way to the bank. They're cursing each other. They're all getting paid. But could you imagine wrestling with God? He wrestled with him, and then God touched his hip. Remember that, right? And he walked with a limp after that. You say, why does God mention the Lord Almighty is with us, the God of Jacob is our fortress? You know, sometimes you are fighting. You're fighting God. You're fighting your flesh. You're fighting everybody. Sometimes God just needs to get a hold of you and change you and let you start trusting in him. And when he was touched by God, his life was changed forever. I think this is an encouragement to all people who have a strong will, who are used to doing your own thing. You can't surrender, like Pastor Tim said. Lay it down. You're so full of yourself or what your ambition, your drive. And sometimes you just got to let God touch you. Even though it changed you, you got to walk the rest of your life with a limp. But the Lord himself touched you. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And he will be with you forever. You could trust in God. So if God has broken you, or he's trying to break you down, he's trying to get you to a point where he could use you, I want to tell you, just like Jacob, he's a faithful and a good God, and you can trust him. God above us. You say, down here there's all these problems, these wars, and all these issues in life, but in heaven, everything is right. And if you're on your way to heaven, one day things will be right once again. Verses 4 through 7. But if you look in verse 7 through 11, you'll notice that it's not just God above us, but it's God with us. The transition from 7 to 8, look what it says. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Come and see. It almost sounds like taste and see that the Lord is good. I was in 7th grade, and a kid in my development got the first pair of Michael Jordan shoes. Air Jordans. How many remember Air Jordans? It was a kid, like he was like a junior and senior or a senior in high school, and I was a 7th grader. He was cool, man. He was cool. And if you remember, sneakers were mostly just white, or maybe a swoosh, or maybe just a little thing. But these were the first sneakers that had no white color in them at all. And the word got around, hey, dude, you got to see the new Michael Jordans. Dude, check those out. Everybody was talking about Michael. I had to come and check it out. They're cool. $100. Dad, can I get a pair of Michael Jordans? Dad, there's no white color in all. It's just black and red. He gave me a marker. Black and red. He goes, make your own right there. He saved $75 right there. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Come and see what the Lord has done. What's happening right now in America, even the church, there's two generations that don't know the Word of God. And if you don't know the Word of God, you might not know how great of a God we serve. He invites us, come and see the goodness of God. Come and know that He's our refuge. Come and know that He's our strength. Come and know that He's just not a God above us, but He is with us, and He's with us today. Put your trust in Him. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. Believe in Him. Now, I have to confess something. I love America. I love America. I've traveled on mission trips. I spent 2 months in Thailand. I've been to Taiwan. I've been to Mexico. I've been to Canada. I've been to Nicaragua. I've been to, where did we go on our honeymoon? St. Martin. We went to St. Martin. We've been everywhere. When's our anniversary? I'm just showing. Love travel. But I enjoy getting back to America. I know America has its problems and all that stuff, but I love that it's free. I love the opportunities that we have. I like America. Now, we had a president who ran on a theme, make America great again. It's interesting. I mean, take the president and his personality out of it. Sounds pretty good. Make America great again, right? It's pretty good. But in my estimation, a lot of believers, a lot of Christians, they link up this nationalism and this love of America with their own faith. They make it really high. But what would happen if you didn't live in America? Is God not your refuge and your strength and your ever-present time in trouble and help? Listen, I love America. We had a friend visit, or a new friend, we just met her, is a friend of the family, visit us at our house on July 4th. She's from China, she's Chinese, she lives in Britain, in London, in London, and I'm like, you've never been to America? On July 4th, you're going to hear American music. You're good. I made it my duty to welcome her to the United States of these Americas. So I started, on my YouTube, I started sharing every single song that has the word America in it. She's like, what are you doing? You're in America. You're in America. So I started singing Neil Diamond. We're coming to America. Today, sweet land of liberty, today of the IC, of the IC. She's like, what's going on here? This is the best country in the whole world. Whole best country in the whole world. And then I just broke into a little Bruce Springsteen. Born in the USA. And I don't even know if this is like a clean song. I just started, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee is dry. Good old boys drinking Pepsi and whatever. It'll be the day that I die. Someone said, oh, you forgot about James Brown. Hey. In America, hey. Rocky. Love America. Love America. But listen, what would happen if America went away? The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our strength. We don't put our faith in a president. We don't even put our, and I love being in America. I love it. I enjoy it. I sing all the songs. I usually go to Old Navy and buy a $5 shirt. I'm so into it. But let me throw something out at you. If you ever read the rest of the Bible, in the end, there's no indicators that anything in the end times is going to be about the West or America. Nothing. Say, well, John, what's going to happen at the end times? It seems like things are getting bad and getting close. Yeah, I don't know. I have a different theology. I have a pan-theology. However it pans out, that's what God wants. I have no idea. I read, I'm a little confused. Trumpets and all these horsemen flying around. I have no idea what's going on. But when I watch the election, it's like our nationalism, and there's nothing wrong with America. As a matter of fact, if I would come back as a second person, I'd come back a Marine. I just love the military. I love I would be with Steve Piccarelli. He's been in every branch of the service, the whole, I just like it. But I see people, they put like all of their energies and emotions into being American. I'm like, you can't do that. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is our strength. And he is present today amongst us. You say, what happens if you were like in China in the underground church? The Lord is your refuge. The Lord is your strength. And he is present. I get invited to these different like high classified, you know, the ministers and the preachers and the Christian church in Iraq and Iran, Afghanistan, they're all on the ground. Their heads are getting chopped off. Any type of visibility, they're tracking them. The persecuted church, the suffering church. What about those guys? It's the same chapter 46. The Lord is our refuge. The Lord is your strength. And the Lord will be with you. I want to tell everyone in this room, the Lord will be with you. You can trust him. You can't really trust the American government about the future of it. We cannot do that. So I really like being American. So do I. But it's the Lord that we put our faith and our trust in him, because he's present. Look what Hebrews 4 verse 16 says like this. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I want to tell you, God is faithful. I want to tell you, God is faithful. Now, this is a little bit of a challenge for me, because we're in a season as a church, and I feel very strongly. And you say, John, what does God say to you? You're the pastor. Like, you're close to God, right? Like, tell us. Why sometimes I'm trying to figure it out too, but I could just tell you this. The Lord is trying to tell me, trust me. I got this all figured out. Trust me. So I have a message for all the deacons of our church. We need to trust the Lord. He's faithful and good. He's our refuge. He's our strength. And he's present with us. I need to tell something to all the small group leaders and everyone who participates in small groups. God's with us. I want to tell everybody who comes to the prayer meeting, God's with us. Royal Rangers and Missionettes, God is with us. We do not need to fear. We just keep trusting him. I want to say something to all the congregants. We do not need to be fearful. We don't need to go and get prescription drugs. We don't need to run to a certain place where they read your palm or roll a dice or check a horoscope or do something to alleviate the pain. We could just trust the Lord. He's faithful and he's good. If you'll put him first in every area of your life, he is faithful and he's good. Now, verse 10 says it like this. He says, be still and know that I'm God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. So I say this to young people. You have to know that God is going to be with you. I also feel deep in my heart, I don't know why, I'm just going to tell you what I feel. I felt like the Lord was just pressing upon my heart to talk to people for just a moment in your 60s, 70s, 80s, and maybe 90s. We have strong kids program. We're sending 100 people, kids. We built a $5, $6 million building right next door. Royal Rangers Mission. We do kids, youth, master's commission. Praise the Lord. But I just felt in my heart, if you're in your 60s, 70s, 80s, the Lord's not done with you. You might have a different season of your life, but I just want to tell you, God is your refuge. God is your strength. He's your ever-present time in trouble. He loves you. He cares about you. But he says, he's amongst us, all people. You ever hear me at church? Multicultural. I say that on purpose. Some people walk into a room, and they're the minority, and they don't feel comfortable. It could go lots of different ways. It doesn't matter. But at Marlton Assembly of God, God is with us, and we want you to be a part of us. God's here. He's faithful. We also say multi-generational. Sometimes people say, oh, this is for the young people, and they feel older. Or maybe it's an older church, and where are the young people? Or whatever. Listen, God is with us. Sometimes I get in trouble because I mention different groups, like single mom, single dad, you're single, you go through divorce, black, your wife. Which one did I not forget? Listen, he's with us. He's with us. If you're a person, he's with us. Now, the psalmist finished. He goes, be still and know that I'm God. There's a song that goes, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. So when I read this psalm, I feel like the Lord is speaking to me. John, just be still. Trust me. There are seasons of your life that God will just slow you down. You don't have to do anything. Just trust me. You know what he says to me, John? I got it all worked out. I got the whole church worked out. It's actually my church. Yeah, but Lord, we got stuff to do. I try to work hard. This season right now, I just tell my wife, you know why I built that brick oven pizza? I just need to get my mind off of church and other stuff. I mean, I still showed up. But what do you do all day, Pastor? No, I'm still here. But you know what I could do? I could take the church and the ministry with me 24/7. Sometimes I'll wake up 3, 4 o'clock just thinking about what needs to get done, making lists, prayer journal, texting myself. Don't forget to do this. I'm just telling you what the Lord's doing right now in my life. He's saying, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and... So I got so much to do. I got, like, hurry up because I got stuff. I got to pick up the bread on the way home. And I got to make a sale tomorrow. And God says, be still. I've got this. You can trust him. He's got it all worked out. The human nature is to rush, to go fast, to make it happen. It's to rely on the government or somebody else. But God says, if you'll trust me, I'm your refuge. Run to me. It's the strength of your life. I will bless you. I will be with you. Be still and know that I am God. God says to me, John, I have all the concerns of the money of the church. I got you. I'm going to take care of the congregation of the church, all its workers, all its leaders. I've got this taken care of. So what's the Lord speaking to you? When you settle your heart, you know it's a great song? Go, be still. You know it's a great one? Right after that, I exalt thee. Right? It kind of flows, right? It's like people who never raise their hands. I exalt thee. And the longer you stretch it out, the more anointed it is. I exalt thee, O Lord. I mean, you feel the presence of God with that song, don't you? I lift my hands to you. You know what sometimes I feel like? I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. I'm exhausted. Right now in my life, God is saying to me, John, I'm with you. I am with you. I am your refuge. I am your strength. Rest in me and trust me. When you come to Christ, the Bible says, in him we live and move and have our being. God gives you a life. When it's not full bore, it's not pedal to the metal, it is resting and trusting in him and simply being still. Some of you have been on the run, you've been pushing it, and God's saying, just relax and trust. Be still and know. You're in your 60s, 70s, and 80s? He's got you covered. He's been faithful all these years. All these years. You're just in a different season. But now, 60s, 70s, your physical body, there's complications. My parents are going through it. Be still and know that I am God. Say, John, I'm fast-paced type of guy. So am I. I could build a brick oven pizza in one day. My dad can beat up your dad. No, I'm just joking. Where did that come from? I'm a fast-paced guy. It's hard for me just to be still and know that I'm God. But at that moment, God's faithful. John, will you trust me? I will give you the strength, and I am present. I feel like the Lord is speaking to this congregation. Last week and this week, if you're going through the storms, the earth is opening up, what's ever happening, don't quit. Keep being faithful, put God first. I don't know how it'll work out. This week almost mirrors like last week. He's faithful. He's strong. If we'll put him first, he is faithful and he's good. Would you pray with me?